okay? If you're a freak, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, let me see you get low. Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I don't know if it's a happy Monday, but it is Monday.
It is Monday. You should be happy that you are alive.
Yes, that is what Monday is good. Listen, folks, if you got your cups out and you're hoping to get poured some of that nice Kool-Aid, put your cups away. It was a debacle. It was bad. It was about as bad as it could have been, I think, for the Cleveland Browns against the New York Jets. 31-10, they fall in the season opener in a game in which the Browns didn't do any of the things that they were supposed to do. They were not able to run the football offensively. The offensive line had a very difficult time with the Jets' defensive front. This unbelievable offensive line that's been assembled really struggled. They had zero pressure all day long on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Couldn't get to him.
Were there any hurries? Quarterback. There was a couple quarterback hits.
According to Pro Football Focus, there were three hits and one hurry on the day. That's it. Zero sacks. That's it.
That's like standing there unscathed most of the day.
Yes. For comparison's sake, Ryan Fitzpatrick dropped back 24 times. He was under pressure three times in the entire game.
And on the other side of the, and the other side of the board?
And on the other side of the ball for the Cleveland Browns, Johnny Manziel dropped back 32 times. He was under pressure 11 times. Josh McCown dropped back on the day 8 times. He was under pressure twice. So our line was actually kind of okay. You know, yeah, in the 33% range, that's okay. But our pressure was non-existent. Our ability to stop the run. Now, this is one where I'll disagree with people who are like, we didn't stop the run at all. They were averaging 3.5 yards a carry in the first half. Midway through the third quarter, they still weren't doing anything. Once this game got what I would call out of hand,
Once it was up 14,
they ran the ball right down the throats of the Cleveland Browns, finishing with 154 yards.
Which is not a good sign, though. When they line, when you line, and essentially they were running the same plays. Like, I'd say they ran the three plays out of different looks over and over again, and we still couldn't stop it.
When your quarterbacks, and one of them, mind you, played a series,
yep,
are your two leading rushers, it's a problem. Duke Johnson averaged 3 yards a carry. Isaiah Crowell averaged 1.7 yards per carry. And the scary thing, as you like to go back to it, is this. Duke Johnson had one run of 8 yards. He had his other six carries go for 14 yards. Isaiah Crowell had a run of 8 yards. His other 11 carries went for 12 yards. Too much ineffectiveness in this ground game. And I don't understand, ultimately, when you're the Cleveland Browns and you've done everything you can, your philosophy is, we are going to build this team to run the football. We are going to dominate at the lines, at the point of attack. To do that, you need to be able to run the football and protect your quarterback. They really protected the quarterback, I guess they did okay, but they had to scramble a lot. You did not create any running lanes, and you did not stop the run, ultimately for 60 minutes effectively, and you got zero pressure on what is not considered to be an elite pass-protecting offensive line.
And essentially, not a series of elite wide receivers either.
Right.
It's not like Fitzpatrick is the greatest passer and he's got great weapons. He's got good weapons. Eric Decker, we saw, you know, the touchdown down in the red zone. Brandon Marshall is still the big body who can get open. But you know who he is. You don't have that Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown guy. You don't have that Calvin Johnson game-breaking ability in any one of these guys. And what's sad to me, and like you said, We're built to play great defense and run the football, to kind of put everything under our umbrella, is we're built, we draft, we sign and re-sign football players to build a bully mentally and physically. And we got bullied in week one. And that's where the bad taste in my mouth lies. You know, I know the stats don't lie, and we're going to dig in all show long. We want to hear from you all show long. 216-578-0850. We're not drinking the Kool-Aid either. So bring it. We'll rationalize it. We've got great opportunities moving forward, but I know it's all very, very much fresh in our face right now. And we want to hear from you. It's just very frustrating right now.
listen, the good news is it's one game. It only counts just because you got beat this bad. It doesn't count as two losses.
Right.
It counts as one loss. And the team is going to have to regroup. I think what is nerve-wracking are a couple things. Number one, what we said off the top, you built your team to do one thing, and it was not able to do it. Now, the good news is Josh McCown is supposedly your starting quarterback. I think ultimately we get into it because we'll talk about some bright spots. I think there were some things that you can take away positive. I think the quarterback play ultimately was positive. Johnny's got to take care of the football much better than he did, but we'll talk about that. But, you know, you go on a 17-play, 90-yard drive to start the season. Not bad. Doesn't end the way you want. But what really troubled me is the fact that this secondary is supposed to be what it is supposed to be. And at the end of the first half, Ryan Fitzpatrick walked right down the field throwing the ball exclusively and produced a touchdown.
Yep.
They went at Joe Hayden, not one of his better days. I think Joe Hayden would be the first to admit it was a rough day for him. It was ultimately just that kind of performance for this team that just wasn't good. You look at the Jets, they didn't have a single guy with 10 sacks last year. They come out of the game with 3 sacks on the Browns, 3 quarterback hits. The Browns with all their sacks, 0 sacks, 1 quarterback hit. The back end of the defense did not perform at the level it was supposed to. The front of the defense did not perform at the level it was supposed to in the second half. I thought for more than 50% of the game, the front did a good job against the run. But in the second half, it was like the floodgates open. And that's the point, as you made, where it becomes a matter of, I don't know if pride's the right word, but what troubled me more than anything, and I've been on the sideline now for a season and a half, okay? Just over a season. I wasn't there the Rob Chudzinski year. I've been on the sideline. I did not like what I thought was a massive change in demeanor, energy, et cetera, on that sideline in middle of the third quarter on.
Which is when you need it the most.
I just think they were frustrated and they felt like they were it was the first time that I felt like this team felt like they were beaten. I don't know if it's because of the McCown injury, you know, Johnny hadn't gotten to practice, or if it's just the defense was frustrated with the lack of success that they were having, but it just seemed there was a different energy on the sideline, and that troubled me more than anything, because you've got to go out and compete for 60 minutes. You only get to do it 16 times a year. And not that they weren't. I don't want anybody to say, they didn't give up. It just was clear that the frustration of what happened had a massive effect on the team. And then, therefore, their performance.
Of course. And then, but you know what, Nathan, as you look around the league, and for me personally, having played in the National Football League, I've been in those places before where you thought, you're excited, you put a ton of work in the game plan, you think you know this team very well, and you go out and you do lay an egg, whether it's a quarter or a half, or you're at that breaking point right there in mid-third quarter, and as I said, been there before, but you know what, and I'm not truly identifying that this is the problem, but every team that I was a part of, and as you look around the National Football League, they have that one player or players that rise above that frustration and make that interception, that quarterback, quarterback sack, forced fumble. They make that big play offensively. They have that playmaker on one side of the ball that says, I'm going to be the guy that changes that tune. And had we made a play or had a guy make a play at that point in the season, that frustration turns immediately to optimism when you get the ball back or you're in the scoring zone. You know that if we score now at that point and we make it a 7-point football game, we're in it, and we can win that game.
It's a one-possession game.
It's a one-possession game. So, and that's the one thing that I could identify, having been there before, that if you have that playmaker that takes it upon himself to make that game-changing, get-out-of-your-feet type of mentality play to get everyone rallying behind it and allowing you to see that there's light at the end of the tunnel, which at that point nobody did, you don't have that guy yet. That guy we thought was, in some cases, Joe Hayden. That guy we thought was Dante Whitner, that big hit coming across the middle that gets everybody, makes the hair on your neck stand up. We don't have that right now, or we're not putting ourselves in situations to be that guy.
Or we had Tashaun Gibson makes the interception in the red zone.
Yeah. Puts the fire out.
And gives it right back. Brandon Marshall takes it right back. I thought that was a major turning point in the game.
Huge.
Huge turning point.
You take points off the board, they get it back, put them right on.
Here's I like to talk about numbers. So here we go. 17 is one number. 17 is one number. The other number on the other side of it, same. This is going to be the same thing. The other number is, and I'm looking for it real quick. Here we go. 5. 17 and 5. Wilhelm, do you know what those two numbers are?
I don't.
Turnovers plus penalties for the Cleveland Browns. 17. 5 turnovers, 12 penalties.
And add the two numbers up for the New York Jets.
5. That's what I did. 17, 5. We had as many turnovers as they had penalties and turnovers,
combined.
And their only turnover wasn't even a turnover because they got it right back. So it was really 4 turnovers by the Browns out in the open with 12 penalties. So it was really 16-4.
Right.
We had 4 times as many what I would call mistakes in this game than the New York Jets. I don't know if some of that is at the end of the day because, you know, you had some issues in the offensive line room. There were a lot of flags on the offensive line of the Cleveland Browns in this game. And with Andy Muller gone, George DeLeon in, I don't know if that's the issue. It wasn't supposed to be. This is a veteran line with a bunch of all pros. This offensive line has to be better. And I've been asking for it since the beginning of the preseason. Show me that you guys are that good of an offensive line. And the other part of it, too, and we talked about it after watching the Steelers and the Patriots game. I think offensive lines in general are somewhat overrated in the modern NFL. The Browns, however, are not built to play in the modern NFL.
They're not.
And so when you're not built to play in the modern NFL, you have got to be very good at what you have set your core competencies out to be, and that is run the football and play great defense. And when you are unable to do either, games like this are going to happen, especially when you add in the sloppiness. I mean, Johnny had some real nice runs, and unfortunately, again, we're going back to quarterback runs. That's not what's supposed to be exciting, but he had some real nice runs that were taken away.
One call back by penalty.
Two of them.
Down 14, Johnny crosses the 50 with one of those runs into like that the 40-yard range. That was probably a 25-plus-yard run that was called back because of a penalty. So not only do you go back to the spot, but you negate 10 more yards, so you're back on your, you know, 25-yard line when you could be on the other team's 40. You're one first down away from putting points on your board.
Right. It was just, it was sloppy. It lacked efficiency. It lacked passion. It lacked
physicality.
I felt like they were physical
until they were beaten.
Until the end.
But you just said it was the middle of the third quarter when you saw those frustrations. I mean, that's a third of the game.
It is. I think that you came out, you had the interception that was then taken right back by Brandon Marshall. Johnny's interception on a ball that needed to be outside that he threw inside. I was actually having to be.
He did that twice. One was an incompletion as well.
Yes, and the throw that Hartline made the miraculous catch on, not a great one either. But overall, I was actually pleased with what I saw from Johnny. The fumbles, the turnovers, too much. Can't win with that. But in terms of his ability to go through the pocket, make reads, actually throw some nice balls, I thought he did pretty well. It just seemed to me, overall, it was a game that was tough because when you go against what is, in theory, a mirror image of yourself, and it turns out this way, that's bad. Now, I don't want to minimize the fact that Josh McCown got knocked out of this game. Josh McCown has been good all preseason. Josh McCown was very good on his drive. 17 plays, that was a longer drive they had all of last year. 90 yards against a very good defense. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't think the reason they lost this game was because of Josh McCown. I think it had much more to do with deficiencies on the defensive performance, deficiencies on the offensive line performance. And those are the two things that we have said time in and time out have to be the backbone of this team. And they weren't. And then when you're not even good at your core competencies, and on top of that, you put yourself in a hole with 5 turnovers and 12 penalties, you're not going to beat anybody in the NFL.
No, you're not. So that, and going to, you know, going to break here momentarily, and we've got a full bank of calls. How much of this, because I'm a percentage guy, how much do you put this on the coaches and how much do you put on the players from an execution standpoint?
I was going to ask you that because you're a player. You know, I think sometimes it's unfair to blame coaches for guys getting penalties and turning the football over, but you would probably be better equipped to discuss that than I would be.
Sure. And looking at this, my because I do this show every day and because I've been in this building, you know, every week since January of this year, since last season ended, I found myself mid-second quarter and, of course, throughout the remainder of the game that the new CBA, which is again collectively bargained throughout the entire league, and the patty cake training camp that is training camp, and then the days off, quote unquote, by many of the players that did not play well week one, had a lot to do with their performance collectively as a team, from a communication standpoint, from playing, you know, playing and grinding next to the guys that I'm going to start with from an execution standpoint. And then I thought, from a coaching standpoint, once we got punched in the face, you know, by the New York Jets, which was, you know, and part of it was losing our quarterback, I felt like we had no rebuttal. We had, and in some cases, if the players can't make the plays or aren't doing it on the field, you as a coach have to take it upon yourself to scheme those differences, to scheme your guys into situations to make plays. I know who Dante Whitner is. Let's give an opportunity to go make a play and call X. Let's play this coverage because I know Joe Hayden knows it like the back of his hand and get him back to the form that we know he is. Let's call this play, you know. And I know some of that has to do with, and offensively, you look at Johnny, how much tapered back was this game plan because of Johnny Manziel. The one thing that I saw, when we ran in-breaking routes, they were chunk plays. 14, 17, 20-yard plays. But with Johnny in the game, we went safe. We went quick outs, low crossers, easy little throws for him, which I know you have to do because he's not actively a part of the game plan. But you don't win a football game that way. You can't. Not against the Jets.
He made a great throw on the touchdown to Benjamin, right. 54 yards. He made a great throw on a deep dig.
You never go back.
The deep dig to Benjamin for,
right.
20 was a great,
exactly.
play.
In-breaking route. Big chunk
said,
plays.
Big chunk play. Joe Hayden targeted 7 times in this game by Ryan Fitzpatrick. 6 completions, 99 yards, and a touchdown. That's not going to get it done. Brandon Marshall caught every single pass that was thrown his way. 100% of them. That's not going to get the job done.
No, it's not.
It's when you're going to play a bunch of men, and I wonder at some point, do you make an adjustment? Do you say, all right now Marshall's having his way with Joe. Why don't we slide Joe over to Decker? Joe, you take away Eric Decker, and we'll go ahead and double Brandon Marshall. Tremont, and give Tremont a little help on the other side. Just to change it up. Give a different
look. But the tough part about it is, yes, he was targeted the 6 times and he had 6 receptions, but it's only for 62 yards. The way they were killing us is in 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6, he'd run the 8-yard out route, and we'd be playing. We'd have a 2-yard cushion, and he'd catch the ball uncontested, and then it was catch tackle. And one time Joe Hayden could barely do that.
And I thought the play that really was a backbreaker was the 3rd down. I believe it was 3rd and 10, and Chris Owusu beat Joe Hayden down the seam for 43 yards.
Yes.
That was kind of a shocking play, and I think that was kind of, whoa.
Wait, that's just not ran by our guy.
That's not supposed to happen,
no.
With our guy. So overall disappointing. Were there some bright spots? Yes, we'll talk about those as the day goes on, come up organically. I will talk about the quarterback play. I was pleased with it. I thought Duke Johnson looked a little quicker to the hole than Isaiah Crowell did, although neither of them, when you look at the stats, Isaiah Crowell didn't even get a yard down the field before taking contact. Duke Johnson barely over a yard. Unacceptable with this offensive line. Unacceptable. Travis Benjamin, he was the star of the offseason. That carried in the regular season. That was great to see with him. Special teams. Thought special teams overall were very, very good.
They were.
Andy Lee was good.
That was a wash.
Craig Robertson came out and did a sword dance. That was good to see. Travis Coons, now the NFL record holder for the longest extra point in history, as he knocked in a 48-yarder. That was good to see. But other than that, it was a bad outing. It was, in my mind, the nightmare scenario, because this team has made such a focus and a dedication and so much words into action talk about what it is, and it was not what it said it was and was not able to be
100%
what it said it was going to be. And that's what scares me, because this isn't a team that all of a sudden you're gonna say, all right, well, we're not doing so well lining up. We even went jumbo with our number one pick blocking outside linebackers, and we're not able to run the football.
Right. It's like you're going to say, oh, we're going to throw it 40 times a game.
We're
you
not
know
spraying
you can't.
It out.
Or you're going to say, hey, we're going to confuse people with a bunch of different zones now on defense. That's not who you are.
It is not who you are. And the Browns have had 5 picks in the top 35 of the NFL draft in the last 2 years. 5 picks in the top 35. And 3 of them have gone to the offensive or defensive lines. Skill position makes up for a lot.
It does.
Having that kind of talent. Having a Brandon Marshall helps you, even though he's not explosive or elite anymore, but he helps you very much.
I'd say he's the next tier down, though.
He used to be that guy, but yeah, now at this point in his career, as you pointed out, he's 10 yards in a cloud of dust wide receiver,
right.
Which is fine, but he's very effective and
great
good
in the red zone. We saw that.
Good in the red zone, yes. Tough game. We're going to break it down with you all day long here. 216-578-0850. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.